Andrew, good morning.
Hey, morning, Tess. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy. It's cold, but you know.
We're getting there.
Yeah, I've brought something to warm you up, though.
Oh, I'm ready. What are we taking a look at this week?
Okay, so look, today I've brought a book that I grabbed at when I was offered because it just had enormous potential for fun and escapism.
I love that.
Paris in April 1921. It's the debut novel from Sydney author Tessa Lunny. It's subtitled A Kiki Button Mystery, and that tells you a lot about what you can expect in this stylized romp around the City of Lights. Okay, so we meet Catherine King Button as she embarks from the boat into London 2 years after departing at the end of the war. It's 1921. Having served as a nurse on the Western Front, Catherine is Kiki to all those who know her from those days. She's an Australian. She sort of comes from agrarian money, but she's very much enamored of Europe after her service. Now, London, it's just a pit stop on her way to Paris and to the freedom that only the post-war liberty of that city can offer her. And ensconced in a garret in Montparnasse, because Montmartre is so late 19th century, baby. Kiki is determined to live up to the fame and notoriety she has as the blonde Australian society reporter.
Oh!
So she's set up. She's in a garret in Paris, and she is reporting on all the hottest parties. Now, she falls into the artistic circles of Montparnasse's Café Culture, and Kiki becomes a model and lover of Pablo Picasso. That's Pablo to his friends. You don't want to sound like a tourist. So Pablo entrusts Kiki with a mission to locate a stolen portrait and leveraging all her society access to discover the thief. When a mysterious figure from the war reemerges at the same time, reports drift in from Germany's northern territories of fascist brown shirts terrorizing the population. Kiki knows that her past is catching up with her, and she must revive the skills that she had used with great impact in the war as a spy.
Oh, no way! Oh, I'm so on board.
Yes, way. So, look, this novel is as fun to read as that breathless introduction implies. It's a page-turner that you could easily see turned into a film, with its long shots of Parisian skyline zooming into intimate cafe trysts and flying through dark alley rendezvous. It's a book with flair and realism as Kiki meticulously dresses for every party in immaculately described fashion, while struggling with the prospect that no running water in her garret means that these clothes are getting several runs before she has any hope of having them cleaned. This is the sexiest student share house adventure you never got to have.
I was just about to say, been there,
yep,
but
yep.
I'm loving that. I'm picturing...
Still there.
Still there. I'm picturing very Great Gatsby meets Paris...
Yeah.
That's what's in my head at the moment, and I'm loving it.
Yeah,
just
so
in fashion.
This is what Gatsby and his crew over in West Egg in New York were riffing off. These guys were doing it first, they were doing it best, because this is where that artistic culture sort of spread out from. Now, Lunny, this is a mystery. Lunny plays the mystery and intrigue here like a pro. We meet all the players pretty early on, so the board is set, and Kiki must then resolve how each of them fit into this missing portrait intrigue, and then how it all fits into her clandestine work from the war. The shadow of the Second World War is also really difficult to overlook here. I mean, sitting where we are at this point in history, almost 100 years later, we know that the reparations put on Germany ultimately led to the rise of Nazism and the horror of the Second World War. But here we have this situation where this is all quite new. And when Kiki first hears the word fascism, she doesn't understand even what it is. She's trying to get her head around this. And yeah, Lunny really plays with this, exploring the attitudes of the rise of fascism and how that worked within the psychology of those who had survived the war, only to see life continue in relative misery. I mean, I guess it is really important to remember, this is kind of a very high society. Kiki may be living the poor life in a garret. She's still much better off than people in the poorest parts of Paris, who are much better off than the people in the poorest parts of the country. Mm. It's interesting the way that's explored. In Kiki, we also have this fantastic exploration of a woman's role in society. Kiki has had her life transformed by her experiences in the war. She was a nurse. We also know she was a spy, but nobody else is supposed to know that.
Got it.
But just the experience of watching young men die, but also for her having the freedom of being away from her family and these strictures and expectations has really, it's opened up her world. And she's learned that she has more to realize about herself than simply just finding this good match and settling down on land, you know, pumping out a few kids, that type of deal.
All that fun stuff, yeah.
And these plays out in her relationships and even in her very existence in Paris, the only city that she feels like she can be at home. It's really special watching the way she interacts with the men in her life who all have this pull on her. And it's very much, if you've read Henry James' Portrait of a Lady, watching Isabella Archer in that book play off suitors. And ultimately, Isabella has a very difficult time of it. And this is not quite that. It's still very much that sort of light, fast-paced mystery. But very interesting to see how these historical attitudes mirror what we see today. So look, there's just definitely something about fighting the patriarchy in a designer frock and, yes, a cape, because capes were very fashionable.
This is my dream.
Mm.
I love it.
Yep. It's a fun book. I'm a sucker for Paris. I love that city. And all the elements come together to make this a perfect escape from our current cold winter days. April in Paris is beautiful. Remember, this is the time. So find a fireplace and a bottle of wine, and I would just devour this book in a whole sitting.
I am definitely going to take that advice on board. What are we taking a look at next week?
Okay, so next week we're gonna go back to Paris.
Oh yes,
another fantastic Australian novel, Gregory Day's A Sand Archive, and I'd probably just let people know that Tessa Lunny and Gregory Day are also going to be popping in and talking on Final Draft. So you can catch them on Saturday mornings at 10 or on the new Final Draft podcast. There is so much great stuff out. I actually last week put up a whole bunch of authors, Alexis Wright, Claire G. Coleman, Kim Scott, fantastic Indigenous authors for NAIDOC Week. So go and check out those interviews.
Do it, do it. Go check them out. We'll pop the links up in the podcast. You've got no excuse to not go check them out. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thanks.